not going to do the whole thing, but I want to just introduce you to the main idea. And the question itself that Rav Huttner starts with in Maamar Yud Zayin and Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach is really a very remarkable question. It's a very troublesome pasuk in Chumash. Okay, so let's read inside. This is Rav Yitzchak Huttner, who passed away in 1980, the great Rosh Yeshiva. And his mamarim, obviously, on the Mo'adim are fundamental to understand, you know, each of the Jewish holidays. So he begins in Maamar Yud Zayin, Achas mehavtachosav shel Torah hi. One of the promises that Hashem makes for us or to us, ki im nekayim es atanai v'nelech b'chukosa, that if we keep our part of the deal, and we live a life of Torah and mitzvos, so there's a pasuk at the end of B'chukosai, Yitain Hashem end of Chumash Vayikra, Yitain Hashem mishkano b'sochenu, like we've been learning, we learned about it yesterday, a little bit more, Parshas Truma, Parshas Tetzave, Hashem will place His mishkan, His dwelling, amongst us. But in Parshas B'chukosai, in the strangest of ways, listen to what the pasuk says, Hashem will place His Hashras Hashchina, His presence amongst us, V'lo tiga'al nafsho osanu, and He will not be repulsed by us. Here's the pasuk. Ready? Listen to this pasuk. V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem, I'll place My presence amongst you, upon you. V'lo tig'al nafshi eschem, and I will not be tig'al. Anyone know what that word means? It's actually a Pesach. It's a Pesach type of word. Why is it a Pesach type of word? How do you kasher kalim for Pesach? There's a process that we use called Hagala. What is Hagala? Hagala is taking a pot and dipping it into boiling hot water. For what purpose? What are we doing? What are we trying to achieve when we do Hagala? We're trying to remove whatever's been absorbed in the pot. Right, and what's that halachic mechanism called? Anyone know? Anyone know the halachic phrase for the way something is absorbed is the way that it's removed? So if it was cooked in boiling hot water, you have to remove it through boiling hot water. Anyone know what that concept is called? Kibolo kach polto. Right? That the way that it is bolea, it is absorbed, kach polto, so too it is expunged, so too it is removed. So we have a very strange pasuk at the end of Chumash Vayikra, beginning of Parshas B'chukosai, a parsha filled with brachos and klalos, where Hashem says, I'm going to place My sanctuary among you, and My spirit will not reject you. Right? But ga'al is a very, as we'll see, ga'al means almost like, you know, almost like to spit out. Right? Hagala means the process by which the kli, which is absorbed, something chametz, is able to release that chametz, to spit out the chametz. So friends, this is a little bit of a strange bracha, no? It's like, if you do everything right, and you're a really good Jew, and b'chukosai te'lecho, ves mitzvosai tishmeru, va'asisam osam, if you keep all of the mitzvos, Hashem says, I won't be repulsed by you. I won't spit you out. Sorry, what? That's like a very strange, right? If you act like a really great guy, I won't be disgusted by you. A little bit of a strange way to speak, no? A little bit of a strange bracha. So the Ramban, in a very deep passage, and Rav Huttner is going to try to develop this Ramban for us today with a little help from the Maharal. The Ramban explains that there's a very deep secret that's taking place here. V'kasev al zeh haRamban. The Ramban writes regarding this wondrous pasuk. V'lo yadati ma hatam b'zeh sheyomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki b'shamreinu kol ha-mitzvos va'asoseinu ritzono lo yim'as osanu b'gi'ul nafsho. A little bit strange. I don't really understand why Hashem is promising us that if we guard all the mitzvos and we do His will, Hashem won't be repulsed by us. A little bit strange. V'hein ba'avreinu al briso va'asoseinu na'otzos gedolos amar lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim. In fact, even when we violate the bris and we do horrible things, the pasuk there as well promises us, lo ma'astim, I will not be repulsed by you, v'lo ga'altim, and I will not spit you out. So now you're telling me, and if I keep all the mitzvahs also, you won't be disgusted by me? I mean, this I get. This is like a big chizuk, you know? That after all the bad things you've done, Hashem says in Pasuk Mem Dalid, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim, I won't be disgusted by you. So that's a big chizuk. In your lowest moment, God says, I still love you. Okay, that's a big chizuk. But what's the beginning of Parshas B'chukosai? If you keep all the mitzvos, then I won't be disgusted by you as well. Thank you so much. Wow, what a great bracha. The Navi describes a time of failure. Right? The actual word in the Ramban is kalkala, not klala. But it's the same idea. At a time of breakdown, the Navi Yirmiyah says, Hama'os ma'asta es Yehuda in bitzion ga'ala nafshecha. Are you disgusted by Yehuda? Would it come that Hashem is repulsed by Tzion? So that's referring to a time of utter failure. So I don't really get, what is this bracha that Hashem is telling us? That what? That if you keep all the Torah and mitzvos, you won't need hagala. There won't be a process of being repulsed, of being spit out. Very strange. Says the Ramban. Chavre, this is still quoting the Ramban. Nachmanides. Says the holy Ramban, who's a big makubal. We think of the Ramban as just, a regular commentary on Chumash. It's a pshat commentary on Chumash, but it's filled with words of Kabbalah. Ramban was a big makubal. Aval ha'inyan sod misisrei ha'torah. Says the Ramban, there's a big secret here. It is a big secret. We don't even understand how, you ask a simple question, you don't understand what the pasuk means. Hashem says, if you keep all of my Torah and mitzvos, I'll place my Mishkan amongst you, and I will not reject you. Of course you're not going to reject us if we're good Jews. What are you saying? I don't understand. What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu offering us? What's the promise here? This is a good question, no? The Ramban says there's a big secret here. This is a sod misisrei ha-Torah. It's a secret from the secrets of the Torah. It's a deep, deep Torah secret here. Amar, sheyitein mishkano b'sochenu, v'hanefesh asher mimena yavo ha-mishkan, lo tagil osanu, kikli shemagilen oso b'roschen. That Hashem will place His mishkan among us, in our presence, and what? And we will not need, I wasn't joking when I said Hagala before, we won't need to undergo a process of Hagala, like a kli, like a vessel, shemagilin oso beroschen, that is cleansed, that is purified by being placed in boiling hot water. Mamish, Hagala. Hagalas kalim. Anyone ever do it before? Anyone ever have the experience? Anyone ever did Hagalas kalim? Sometimes you walk around the Eretz Yisrael, right? Pesach time. You see on the street corner, you see sometimes these big vats. I remember the first time I saw it. You see this big vat, with like a big fire underneath, and a sign. Anyone needs to do Hagalas Kalim, come bring your forks, bring your frying pans, bring whatever you need, bring your pots. Bring whatever you need to dip it into the boiling hot water, in order to what? In order to make your kalim kosher for Pesach. So Hashem gives us a promise. It's a very strange promise. That what? That if you keep the Torah, Hashem says, I'm going to reveal a big secret. You're no longer going to need to go through a process of Hagalas Kalim. You're no longer going to need to be dipped in boiling hot water. Okay. Says the Ramban, Aval b'chol eis yiyu b'gadecha levanim v'chadashim. Rather, your garments will always be clean and white. You won't need to go through the process of Hagala, of removing what? Of removing the filth that's been absorbed within you, removing the chametz that's been absorbed within you. Chavre, I don't really understand. The Ramban's telling us it's a secret, but I don't understand what's going on here. I don't understand what's going on here. If you, right? Yep, Sukkim and Bechu Kosai says the Ramban, that if you're a really bad Jew, Hashem says, still, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim. I won't reject you. I won't despise you. I won't be repulsed by you. I won't spit you out. And now you have to talk about the beginning of Parshas Bechu Kosai. In Bechu Kosai Teilechu v'smitzvosai tishmur v'asisam osam. If you're a good Jew, also you won't need Hagala. Says the Ramban, yes, yes, yes. It's a big secret. Because there's a process of Hagala that you're going through now. But in the future, your garments will always be clean and white. You won't need to be dipped into boiling hot water anymore, jackass. That's a good news, no? It's exciting news. Josh, good news, no? You're no longer going to have to be dipped into boiling hot water. Thank you so much. That is wonderful news. If I'm a good Jew, I won't need to be dipped into boiling hot water. Right? It's like a person that says, if you're a big tzaddik, you won't go to hell. Shkoyach. Of course I'm not going to go to Gehenna if I'm a big tzaddik. A tzaddik goes to Gan Eden. A rasha goes to Gehenna. I don't even understand. The Ramban is a big secret. It's a big, big secret. Okay? So says Rav Huttner, we don't, you know, we're not Kabbalists, and we don't necessarily have to understand the secret the way the Ramban is explaining the secret. We need to learn how to be over the Hashem. We need to be good servants of Hashem, good Jews. Says the Pachar Yitzchak, says Rav Huttner, V'hine ein lanu esak b'nistaros. We don't need to delve into secrets. El eshenir mitoch dvarav. It seems to us that the secret that the Ramban is hinting to, ki asod mechuvan hu biikaro rak la kesher bein avtachas nesinas mishkano ubein hanefesh haniskeres b'sefer dekra shavolot tigal nafshi escham. From the Ramban, it sounds like the secret is something to do with the fact that as Hashem places His sanctuary among us, it's something to do with the nature of the nefesh not being repulsed, and somehow the placing of the sanctuary among us is connected to our nefesh. Maybe that's the part that the secret is contained within, but we don't really care right now, says Rav Huttner. We're going to focus on the main question. We're not trying to solve exactly what the secret is. We just want to focus on the obvious question, which is, again, what kind of crazy promise is this? De'eza havtocha scharhi lomar, dulo tigal nafsho osanu, acharei shega'al shayachu l'divrei haklala. What kind of promise is it to say you won't be repulsed by us when ga'al, when this type of revulsion or rejection, that Hashem being, you know, grossed out by us, is a klala? That's not a promise. V'hachi menias haklala ben avtachos hayu'udim te'chashev is what? The fact that I won't hate you, Should that be considered amongst the promises? That's a bracha. The fact that Hashem is not going to hate us, the fact that Hashem is not going to reject us, not being rejected is a big bracha. Right? If you act in a certain way that's positive, I won't hate your guts, that's a compliment. Very strange. Says Rav Huttner Atmaha. This is a great wonder. It's a pasuk in Chumash. If you keep the Torah and mitzvos, I won't hate your guts. Thank you so much, Hashem. That really makes me feel great. Very strange. We need to understand what's going on. So says Rav Huttner, no. Rav Huttner says, it's 30 days till Pesach, Chevra. And we need to understand the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not only as it applies to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but as we experience every day of our life. How does life work now? And how will it work when Mashiach comes? And why are we lucky to be living through what we're living through right now? It's a very difficult time. Right? The end of days, which is what we're living through right now, the last moments before Mashiach's arrival, as the clock is ticking down and the world seems to get more and more chaotic, right? It's a great schus to be alive today, even though it sometimes feels like, you know, this is a schus, this is so crazy. But it's a big schus to go through all of the upheaval that we're going through, the hagalas kalim of ourselves, is a big schus, and you'll see why in a second. Hine mitzvas sipur yetzias mitzrayim. Let's get back into Pesachim. You know, we spent the last while learning some of the sugyos at the beginning of Maseches Megillah. Today we're getting back into Maseches Pesachim. Okay, dust off your Gemara. We're getting back into Pesachim, Daf Kuf Beis. We're jumping back in. But there's a famous Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim. It's a Mishnah in the 10th parak, the 4th Mishnah, if you're learning Mishnayis. Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph, if you're learning the Gemara. A phrase that you all know, that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place through a process called what? Maschil Beganus Umesayim B'Shevach. The Mishnah tells us we start with the negativity, and then we're able to end with the praise. We start off with our not, you know, so perfect past. We talk about Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. We go back into the good old days when Avram Avinu himself was worshipping idols. And then we emerge from there, the struggles of Mitzrayim, till we eventually come to Har Sinai, and you know, Dayenu, 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 Hashem, you did so much for us, Hallel, 4 cups of wine, a celebration of Geula. But it's a process. There's a chiyuv of Maschil Begnus, Umesayim B'Shevach. We start with some of the hard stories of our life, we start with some of our failures, and then we talk about how we matured over time, we spiritually grew up. Chevra, one of the ways we could, I guess, title today's shiur, you could call it, you know, you could call it going from Hagala to Geula, right? Hagala, Gaal, the word that we're learning, Gimel Ayin Lamed, is very similar to the word, sounds very similar to the word Geula, except one's with an Ayin and one's with an Aleph. The sugya of Ayin and Aleph is a big sugya in general, not for now, But we know that originally, Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, whatever this means, they had bodies that were made out of ore with an aleph. After the chait of Adam and Chava, their body became ore with an ayin. Ore means skin, flesh. The sugya of aleph and ayin is a deep sugya. Rabbi Meir, Gemara says, whatever this means, again, not for now, in Rabbi Meir's Sefer Torah, it says that Hashem prepared Adam and Chava after the sin, kasnus or, which literally means leather garments, leather clothing. But in Rabbi Meir's Chumash, it said kasnus or with an aleph, garments made out of light. So the world of aleph versus the world of ayin, you think about the aleph is Klal Yisrael, right? The one nation that is the chosen nation. We're the sheep amongst 70 what? Amongst 70 wolves. Right, the 70 nations of the world. That's the world of Ayin. So Aleph versus Ayin, the story of Ga'al with an Ayin versus Ga'al with an Aleph is very much a part of our story here. But let's think about going from a need to go through a Hagala, right, a cleansing process, to come to Ge'ula. Maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shavach. Why did Avram Avinu himself have to be an idol worshiper? Why couldn't Avram, you know, like, if Artscroll was writing, you know, the biography of Avram Avinu, it would get a little weird, because sometimes the Artscroll biographies paint a very rosy picture of the Gedolim. So to start off and to say, you know, Avram, for the first 40 years of his life, according to one opinion of Chazal, Avram Avinu grew up like a totally, you know, pagan, idol-worshipping individual, it's a little awkward. That's where Klal Yisrael comes from. And yet, the night of the Seder, we understand, the night of Geula, we understand that you needed to go through a Haggadah to come to a Geula. Maschil b'gnus, u'misayim b'shevach. So, Chaver, let's see it in the words of Rafatner. U'mekayimim anu ezeh al yedei masha mesaprim anu. We fulfill this mandate of maschil b'gnus, u'misayim b'shevach, by telling the story that what? Ki lifnei ha-Geula, before things got really good, hayinu avadim. We were servants. We were slaves. We had an enslaved mentality, not just to Paro, but to Olam Haza. We didn't know how to rise above. We weren't Lamalim and Ateva. We weren't Klal Yisrael. V'gam shemitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. It's not just saying that Avram came from a family of idol worshippers. No. Avram Avinu was an idol worshipper. It's Mefurish in the Rambam. Avoseinu means our avos. Avraham Avinu was an idol worshipper. So we need to understand why that is. Uba al zeh beyur shal ha-ma'aral b'zeh ha-lashon. So the Heilige Maharal in his sefer that describes Yitzias Mitzrayim, what's the name of that sefer, Chevra? Who knows the name of the sefer? What's the Maharal sefer on Yitzias Mitzrayim? Gvuras Hashem. In the Gvuras Hashem, Perek Nun Beis. If you want to take notes and write it down, you can look it up, because it's a very fundamental chapter. The Maharal in the Gevuras Hashem, Perek Nun Beis, chapter 52. The Maharal explains, why did it have to be this way? You can't beat the system, Josh Smas. There's no way to beat the system. It always has to be a Maschil B'Gnos and Messiah B'Shevach. There's no other way about it, Seth. It's the only way it can happen. V'Kasher Tavin, says the Maharal, when you understand, O Teda, Ki HaShevach Shekodem Lo Gnos, who Yoser Shevach. Chevra, underline those words if you have it printed out in front of you. A Shevach, a praise that comes after a setback, is a much greater praise. A positive experience after a Yerida, when I messed up and I find new strength to pick myself up and to rise higher, to grow from my mistakes, that's a much greater praise. The person who is always a tzaddik is very nice. But Chevra, you know Brachos Daf Lamed Daled. Even if you don't know what's on Brachos Daf Lamed Daled, you know the Gemara I'm about to quote. The place where a Baal Tshuva stands, Brachos Lamed Daled Amud Beis, is much greater than the place of a perfect tzaddik. So if you want to reach the heights of all heights, if you want to reach the greatest madrigos, if you want to receive the greatest praise, not that we choose to mess up. You have to be very careful with this sugya, because sometimes we use this to be Mora Heter. We use this as an excuse to do Averos, God forbid. But the reality is we all have setbacks. And as we pointed out many times, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Nun Hay, that has a list of people who never did Averos, are not the most famous Jews. The most famous Jews in history did Averos. Our biggest heroes, our biggest tzaddikim, the biggest heroes of spirit, messed up. Avraham messed up. Moshe Rabbeinu messed up. Aaron HaKohen messed up. Tzadikim mess up. Ein tzadik ba'aretz sher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. The pasuk says there's no tzadik in the world who gets it right all the time. We miss the mark. We mess up. But we grow from that experience. So says the Maharal, a shevach that comes after a gnus, who yoser shevach, is a much greater praise. Kamo shetira shehayom kodem lo halayla. Just like we know from the Jewish experience, night comes before day. You have to go through the dark if you want to get to the light. You have to go through a hagala process to get to a ge'ula. So you're all dreaming. Let's start to answer the question a little bit, because we're not going to see it even explicitly in the words of the Pachad Yitzchak. But let's start to answer the question of the Ramban, or our question on the Ramban, right? What kind of promise is this that Hashem says I'm not gonna put you through a hagala process when you act like a good Jew, right? So you'll say, well, thanks for the promise. You're not gonna put us in boiling hot water. The answer is that is a promise. Going through the boiling hot water, even though it hurts when you're in it, is a cleansing process, and it's a bracha. It is a bracha. Going through the ups and downs of life is a bracha. I've told you many times, in the name of Rav Volbi Zatzal. Rav Volbi said, if you look at a heart monitor, if it's going up and down, that's a good sign. That means you're alive. If it's a flat line, that means you're dead. So ups and downs is a qualitatively good part of life. It's a good experience to learn how to ride the ups and downs, and to be able to hang tight and not to panic, you know, to be able to realize, okay, this is part of the human condition. This is part of the experience. It is a bracha. Yes, you have to go through a geula to get to a geula. You have to go through a hagala to get through a geula. You need a gimel ayin lamed, right? Which is the same letters, by the way, as cheta egel. Interesting, no? That you have to go through an egel in order to figure things out. You have to question God before you come to deep emunah. It's all part of the maturation process. Picture a little kid eating his breakfast. Yeah? I don't know if anyone has younger siblings at home, like really younger siblings. Right? Picture like a little child, you know, a two-year-old, right? 18-month-old, sitting in a high chair, eating breakfast. Right? A little kid who's first sitting and starting to learn how to eat on their own. Yeah, and they're a mess. The food's all over their face, and the tray is covered, right? It's a total mess, right? Obviously, as you get a little bit older, you learn how to eat in a more refined way. Picture a little kid, you know, the little kid running around outside shul on Shabbos, right? He's got a grass stain on his pants. He ripped his Shabbos pants. Yeah, right? An adult knows how to come to shul and to not leave with his pants filthy. Right? There's a process of growing up. When you're a kid, you're a mess. The same thing is true, by the way, sometimes when you're an 18-year-old. You're a mess compared to where you'll be when you're 25 years old. You're a mess when you're single compared to where you'll be when you're married and you settle down. But that's a holy mess. That's part of the ge'ula. That's part of the hag'alah that allows for ge'ula. So says the Maharal, had you not gone through the dark, you never would have come into the light. You need to go through that dark experience to come to the light. Let's pause here for 1 second, since we're not going to have time to read the whole piece. Let me just show you what he writes for a second in Oz Gimel. He quotes the famous words of Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva writes such a beautiful thing. V'yesh ala boteach b'ashem, lahochil b'ma'uf tzukaso, ki yeh hachoshech sibas ha'ora. A Jew who believes in Hashem should trust the process, should understand that what? That you're going to have to go through the dark, and the dark is going to be the what? The siba of the light. The dark will create the light. As the pasuk says in Micha, Al tismichi oyavti li ki nafalti kamti ki eishev bechoshech Hashem orli. Because I fell, I got up. Because I sat in the dark, I was able to step into the light. And Rabbeinu Yonah quotes a chazal, I believe it's in Koheles Rabbah, the Medrash on Koheles. Il mole nafalti lo kamti. Had I not fallen, I wouldn't have gotten up. My yirida made me stronger. Il mole yashavti b'choshech. Had I not had dark periods in my life, lo haya orli. I never would have come into the light. So part of the sod of the what? Of the lo tigal nafshi eschem, Hashem says, listen, right now, I promise you at some point in the future, if you're a good Jew, you'll be able to just, you'll be able to enjoy the bliss of Olam Haba. But the struggles to get there, it's also part of the promise. In a backwards way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, I'm telling you, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt like hell sometimes. But it's good. It's a good type of pain. It's the pain of growth. It's the pain of the last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Right? There's no pain, there's no gain. In accordance with the hard work, Sarah, in accordance with the Tsar, is the Agra, is the reward. This past Shabbos, the Midrashim talk in Parshas Tetzava, we talk about lighting the menorah, how the light of the menorah has to come from an olive. The beautiful illumination that comes from an olive only comes from what? An olive being crushed. Look at the Midrashim. Look at Midrashim explain how Klal Yisrael needs to be crushed in order to what? In order to produce an or. We need to go through a Mitzrayim in order to come to a Yetzias Mitzrayim, to come to a Kabbalah Satorah. You need to go into that Hagalah to be dipped into the boil, come to a purification. You need to go through a night, a Laila, only to come to a Yom. Says the Maharal. Vizeh Mipnei, coming back to Ozbez. Vizeh Mipnei, and the reason this is so, Ki Hashlamos Eino Nimtza B'Haschalaso B'Olam Hazeh. Because Shlemos, Hashlama, perfection, working things out, it doesn't happen at the beginning. You're not going to decide overnight, oh yeah, now I decided I'm a tzaddik. What do you mean? Sheva yipul tzaddik v'kam. You're going to fall down many times. And like Rav Huttner wrote in the famous letter, right? It's not that despite falling seven times, you became a tzaddik. It's because you fell seven times, you became a tzaddik. Exactly this Rabbeinu Yonah, that the choshech is the sibas haor. That dafka ilmali nafalti lo kamdi. Had I not fallen down, I never would have gotten back up. The famous line from Rav Huttner in that letter in the Pachad Yitzchak, where he talks about what? He talks about losing the battle but winning the war. You got to be a big picture type of person. You got to be able to see it in broad strokes. Right? If you look at Klal Yisrael and just that narrow, you know, that narrow experience of Mitzrayim, you'd say we're the worst people ever. 49th level of Tumah. But if you zoom out a little bit and you look at the overall trajectory of Klal Yisrael, yeah, so it looks like, you know, it looks like an investment in a good stock. It's up and down, it's up and down, it's up and down. But if you zoom out and you look at the overall 10 years, right? So yeah, there's ups and downs, but it's up. At the end of the day, it was a quality investment. Hashem knows what he's investing in when he invests in Klal Yisrael. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be moments, mamish, where, you know, where the market crashes and we get involved in Avodah Zarah. That's reality, chevra. But that, says the Maharal, that's how it works. That's how life works. There's never shleimus at the beginning. You never start with shleimus in Olam Hazeh, right? Again, the kid sits at the table. He's trying to eat, and the food's all over his face. He's a mess. But kasher yagia lenimtza shleimus yefsher shetielo oso hamayla betchilaso, basher hi madrege elyona vegomer. Because to reach a high level, it's a process, and a person has to trust that process, to take it slow, to not panic when he has a setback. And that spiritual reality, that shleimus only comes after a process, that left its imprint on havayas olam hazeh. That's reality. That is how reality, that's how life in this world works. She'ein b'tchilaso nimtza ma'alaso. You don't find a mile at the beginning. Everyone starts off as a child and then you mature. No one starts off as a huge Talmud Chacham. You start off as a person who doesn't know the difference between an aleph and a beis. Aval haschalaso hu b'shiflus. You start off in a low place. A seed has to rot in the ground in order to sprout. U'misayla b'achrona. But then it grows. And then it's elevated in the end. V'lo haya kedai ha'olam hazeh l'kabal hamayla hazos. And this world is not worthy, it's not able to receive the lofty madrega all at once. It would be too much. This is part of the tzimtzum of Hashem's light to allow the world to be created. Shi'aor b'tchilaso, ki aor hu ma'alas hamatzius. Because that light, what? Is a level of greatness that can only be achieved after a laila, after a dark period. V'lakach yuktam lo halayla v'gomer. V'lakach dover zeh mora al hamayla ha'elokis, asher haya lehem tchila gnus. So the greatness of the Jewish people. Not the failure of the Jewish people. Not the b'di'eved real. The mitzias of the world and the greatness of the Jewish people is dafka through a process called maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach. So we're not embarrassed to talk about it. We don't act all weird about it at the Seder. We talk about it, l'chadchila. What do we talk about? Avram was an idol worshiper. Yeah, Avram was an idol worshiper. And look how far he came. Look how much he grew. Look how much he matured. Look how he was willing to see himself and his world differently, and to go through a process of growth. Chaver, let's finish the paragraph, and then we'll take some comments. V'yotze lanu midvar malalu. So says Rav Huttner, we see from these beautiful words, ki inyan zeh shel shevach dafka al yedei gnus betchila. Right? Dafka, when there's a gnus that precedes a shevach, mishtayachu lizmano sholom haza. That's how olam haza works. That's how a Jew sees a calendar date. Asher bo erev kodem laboker. That there is what? That there is night before there is day. Erev is a lashon of irbuvia, where things are jumbled together. Boker is a lashon of bikur, to be able to distinguish, to be able to clarify. Or as the Gemara says in Shabbos, daf ayin zayin, me'ikara chashucha, first there is darkness, v'hadar nahora, and then there is light. Aval ba'oso zman, asher olav omeres hanavua. But there's going to become a time in the future, kihu yom asher hu lo yom v'lo laila. There's going to be a time which is neither day nor night. We're going to be in a state of constant illumination. V'hayo le'is erev yiyeh or. A time period is going to come, says the Navi, that night is going to be day. And that's, by the way, what they experience on the way out of Mitzrayim. The Leila Seder is called what? Laila kayom ya'ir, a night that was illuminated like day. Ki oz lo haya hashevach zokuk la'avar, la'avur derech agnus. A time will come where you don't have to get to what? Where you don't have to get to the praise through the suffering, through the setbacks. V'zeu kavanas Ramban. That's what the Ramban is telling us. That's what the Torah is promising us. When the Torah says, V'lo sig'al nafshi eschem, haynu shelo niya kekli shemagilin oso berotchin. This time is going to come where you don't have to be dipped into boiling hot water in order to cleanse your vessels. Aval niya b'chol eis levanim v'chadashim, where your garments are always going to be crisp and clean. But right now, we're living in a world where this is the Metzias. So we can dream, we can say, oh, we wish it would be this way. I don't have to go through so much, you know, spiritual upheaval to become a Yid. But this is part of the process. And if you want to experience it, one day you'll be zochah to experience it. But you'll see, you're going to look back, as so many tzaddikim explain, when Mashiach comes, we're going to look back to Galus with an eye that longs in a certain sense for that struggle. We're going to realize how geshmak it was to be able to be in the fight. And we're going to realize that, you know, Bikish Yaakov Leishim B'Shalva, Yaakov wanted to settle down, and Hashem kept throwing challenges at Yaakov Avinu. But it's that struggle that makes life so geshmak. And that's the reality that Klal Yisrael was born from. And that's what we bring in a very serious way to the Seder night. Okay, let's pause for a second. What time is it? Let's take a couple of questions. Then I want to end with one more point from Rav Huttner and Oz Dalet, just to touch a drop on Oz Dalet. Okay, Yehuda and then David. Let's hear.
I've heard from Rav Joey many times an idea called Tanug Tamidi Eino Tanug.
Right.
Right. The translate meaning that constant pleasure isn't pleasurable.
Right.
And so the idea is like we get used to things, we get tolerances to things, we get numb to things, and everybody here has probably experienced that with different vices in different ways.
Sure.
And so an idea that I've heard is that the zechira of the tzara is the thing that like keeps the tanug going when you're in the tanug.
It's a beautiful
and line. So when Hashem is telling us that we're going to have this tanug, he's going to bring his Shechina to us and he's going to dwell amongst us, he mentions also the fact that there was this Hagala because he wants to make us remember in the moment, not that it's going to happen again, but that it did happen. And the fact that it did happen and the fact that we're remembering it in the moment and that we bring it into that moment is what continues to make the Shechanti B'Socham into something that we can enjoy and
it's a beautiful insight. Right, by remembering how hard I worked to get here, right, just by even just reviewing it in my mind, having that zechira allows me to taste the pleasure of where I am right now in a fresh way. That's a beautiful way to explain it. Yes, David Lifshitz, Shlita, let's hear what you got.
I remember last year, by around Hanukkah time, we were talking about olives versus olive oil.
Yeah.
And how it's not so good to have so many olives, but it's very good to have a lot of olive oil.
Right.
That's right. So I think that stems very well with this.
Yes. Yeah.
We have to like internalize the idea that we're really supposed to go like the whole crushing the olives and like taking advantage of the oil afterwards.
Right. That's right. That's right. We don't want to get stuck in the olive stage. We want to not be afraid to transform ourselves into olive oil. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a big Indian. It's a big thing. Yes, Reb Leiv, let's hear. Reb Leo, what do you got for me?
Rebbe, there's this idea that I didn't learn so well. I only heard it once. That when at Har Sinai, Moshe was almost trying to show the Jews, or Hebrews, I guess, rather, like sort of his perception of Hashem and how Moshe was able to connect to Hashem and sort of give them like a little glimpse into that, to that very high level.
Hmm.
But it was too much for them. And he was worried some of them would turn away from Hashem because it was too much. And some of them started to get ill from it. And some of them were, right. was too much. So I haven't learned this idea so well. Even once, I'm wondering what the Rebbe could share about this idea.
So which part are you asking about?
Well, how it connects in terms of like when you're not at that place, like how it's overwhelming, like we're saying, like how when you're not at that high level, like is this
Right. So the extremes are always, the extremes can always be damaging, right? When a person feels that they've fallen too low, they think that there's no hope. And when a person sometimes experiences something too high, I think that's what you're saying. When a person catches a glimpse of something that seems, you know, too much, it's beyond, it's impossible, I'll never be able to attain that level, that's also very discouraging. Right? But again, I think the point that we're learning today is that you have to realize there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. And if you trust again that process of not becoming despondent when you feel that you fall into a really low place, right? And not becoming too haughty or to feel overwhelmed by seeing someone else who's reached a very lofty place and to say, I'll never be that, so I might as well not even bother trying. If a person understands that as long as you're, you know, you keep pushing along and you keep respecting this process of Hagala, even though it can be painful at times, eventually you'll get there. And I think that's part of the secret that the Maharal and the Ramban and Rav Huttner are trying to reveal to us.
Right.
You know, to trust that process. And I think Rabbi Aaron likes to say, no, doesn't Rabbi Aaron like to say that we're not human beings, we're human becomings?
Yes.
We're not human beings. Yes. You're not just born. You don't just be. You have to become. It's a process. You're evolving. You're emerging. You're discovering yourself. Okay, let's end with one final point, and that is Rav Huttner points out. He says this is why, and again, maybe it's a point we've heard before, but to say it in this context, I think is very powerful. This is why the whole Seder night takes place in a question-answer format. Questions can be very painful sometimes. And sometimes we feel that it's almost inappropriate to ask questions. But Rav Huttner writes here, he says, if we go one step further, Mamshichim anu asakav hala, if we kind of drag this idea forward, ki ofen hasipur shel yitzias mitzrayim, bab hat'ama letochen hasipur, that the way that we experience yitzias mitzrayim expresses itself in the way that we tell the story. In other words, what? Just like we grappled in the physical experience of the ups and downs of our emerging, of our becoming. So too, when we tell the story, we relive the story in that same way. We bring the questions to the table. Ki kishem shetochan asipur machayev lesapres inyan hageula dafka betor shlemus shetzamcha mitoch chisaron. Just like what the story, we're obligated to tell the story that a geula came about, that shlemus sprouted from an experience of lack, of void, of failure. Kamokein ofen hasipur, the very way in which we relay that story, badafka b'toras tshuva al she'ela. It has to come in the form of what? Questions and answers, grappling. Why? You know why? Exactly what the Maharal told us before. Because a genus that precedes a shevach makes a much sweeter shevach. Where Yehuda explained before, a tanug tmidi, something, a constant pleasure is not a pleasure. If it's not taken away from you, you can't enjoy it. So too, Halo davar mechuvar hu, ki kol hasaga sheniskabla lisochenu b'tor hatara shal sveiko seinu, o b'tor pisron lekushio seinu. The words are hard. Let's break it down. It's clear to me, says Rav Huttner, that any hasaga, any understanding, any grasp that you have, that you're mekabel, that you accept within you, a hatara, a resolution that comes from a doubt, a pitaron, a solution, a solving of a question, right? A pitaron, a solving of a kushya, of a question. Shivcha gadol yosar is much greater than had I not ever grappled with that question, had I not ever had that suffix, right? Emuna pshuta, I never questioned God. But you know what? On a certain level, the person who struggled with the sugya of Hashem, the person who wondered why do bad things happen to good people, right? The person who asks the hard questions and grapples with them, and then comes to some type of resolution and continues to grapple and is constantly battling, that's a person that what? Yomali nafalti lo kamti. Had I not fallen, I never would have gotten up. Had I not sat in the dark, I never would have come to the light. So to remind ourselves that this is part and parcel of the human experience. This is the way that it's supposed to be. So we structure the format of the Seder to highlight this idea. So again, for all those moments in life where you wish it was just, you know, I'm tired of sitting in the boiling hot water, I don't want to go through any more hagalas to get to my personal geula, remind yourself what we're learning today. The shevach that comes after the gnus is so much sweeter. And the light that comes after the darkness is so much brighter. And that's the experience. That's the experience of geula. That's how life works, says Rav Huttner. Don't be bothered by it. Just embrace it and lean into it, and you'll see, you'll become a much more shalom person and a much more elevated person from that difficult experience. Okay, chevra.